back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Happy New Year. Dave here, along fresh from the Sugar Bowl, my broadcast partner in crime. I'm big journalist, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going well. Like you said, back from the Big Easy in New Orleans, helping out with the no free ads, but I have to say the ad here, the All-State Sugar Bowl, doing some media relations stuff for game week, but it's good to be home, and it's good to be back in the mix for hockey because New Orleans is a great city in many aspects, but it is not a hockey town whatsoever. So I felt like a fish out of water. Being the only hockey crazy person in a city that is crazy for football with the Saints, obviously. But even the South in general has, they're big on high school sports. Like everyone was asking me what high school did you go to? And I'm like, you're not even going to know what this high school is. But it actually, quick humble brag again. I was wearing my Bloomsburg backpack and it has BU, the Bloomsburg logo on it with the Husky. And a guy from ESPN thought that it was BU, Boston University. And I had to let him down and be like, it's actually not that BU.
It's another BU in the Poconos and PA.
I felt kind of bad because he was embarrassed about getting it wrong. I'm like, dude, it's okay. There's more than one BU. Baylor University was playing in the Sugar Bowl, so they're also BU. There's so many so many BUs out there. But it was just funny where he was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I'm like, "Dude, it's okay. I'm not offended. I think it's funny." So I should have just went along with it. But yeah, Boston University, that was a time and a half, man. Playing
not a big deal.
College hockey, but anyway, it was a great trip. Great to get away for a few days. Great to get. Hope you had a good holiday season, Dave. But it's back to the grind, and it's back to the Flyers being the Flyers.
Oh yeah, yeah. Spent my holidays in a COVID quarantine.
Oh man.
Yeah, so we're not gonna get into the detail on that, but we're gonna get detail on COVID in regards to Flyers and the league.
The Megatron variant, as I'm jokingly calling it.
The Megatron variant.
Or the, I don't know, you're probably not a TikTok guy, but TikTok is the Omarion, the rapper. They're calling it.
I don't even know who that is. I guess I'm just old.
Oh, but it's pretty funny. The TikToks are good. But, as it has been for the past, two plus years now, COVID is the main character in our lives, so to speak. And it's, once again, ravaging the NHL and the Flyers. But Dave, the Flyers just are getting back from their West Coast road trip as they play their cross-state rivals, the Pittsburgh Penguins, tomorrow night at the Wells Fargo Center. Before we get to that, we have to recap the last four games because...
Do we have to?
We don't have to, but we should. I guess we can bundle three of them into they lost. And then they won their opening game on Wednesday, the 29th.
They should have lost that one too.
Yeah. They deserve to go 0-4 on that road trip, I think. But again, it's just this trip always gives them trouble where it's the dreaded Disney on Ice trip because usually that's when Disney on Ice comes to the Wells Fargo Center for some extended amount of time. And the Flyers go on the West Coast road trip and they play all the West Coast teams, including now Seattle. And the wheels just seem to fall off. And boy, did they fall off because we've got everything from, Keith Yandel is in the worst spotlight ever right now. You got COVID ravaging the team once again. You got just more injuries. Ryan Ellis is somewhere out there with Bigfoot. No one even knows where he's at.
Is he real?
We're going to touch on all this, but I mean, Dave, I'll let you take the talking stick here to give your thoughts. If you want to just kind of sum up the road trip for us, and then I'll throw in my two cents, because again, I was away, so I didn't get to catch every game, but I'm sure I can echo most of your sentiments as we usually do with each other here. But based off of my research that I did about 10 minutes ago, I'll try to form an opinion about how this road trip went.
Not great. If I could pick one word to summarize this road trip, it'd be butt. It was absolute butt. I mean, yeah, you think like, oh, cool. Yeah, they went, you know, what was it? They were 1-2-1 on the road trip. And you normally go, oh, that's not bad. You know, that's, you know, 1-2-1, you know, and that's, you know, what was that? That's 3 out of 6 points, like, right? No, three out of eight. It's three out of eight. Yeah, that's not good. But they just did not look good at all. The opening game in Seattle, the Flyers curb stomped the Kraken when they came to Philadelphia in October.
I was at that game. It was awesome.
Yeah, and it was and that's when the team was fun.
Yeah.
And they go to Seattle now this year, and literally the only reason why they were ever in that game was because of Martin Jones in net.
Yep.
The Flyers deserved to lose that game. But they got key goals and good goaltending, and they got the dub. So you thought, okay, you know what? Hockey's weird. This happens every once in a while. They got outplayed. They played like garbage, but they won. Cool. I'll take it. The next night, Felix Sandstrom makes his NHL debut in San Jose and has a pretty good night in net. Flyers score first, and you think, okay, things are rolling here. And then Keith Yandle makes a bad play. They go down. They tied up late early. They have absolutely zero sense of urgency and the gravity of the situation they're in overtime, and they lose.
Yeah.
To the Sharks. But you go, hey, Sandstrom looked good. Okay, they're 1-0-1. Let's see how things go from here.
Wait, but before you go on, I'm going to jump in here from what I did see, which makes absolutely no sense to me. I mean, like you said, Sandstrom played a great game. I think he set a record for the most amount of saves in a debut for the Flyers with like over 40 saves.
He had 42 saves, I believe.
Yeah, the kid played really well, but it's also, again, how do you not start Martin Jones again? I feel like that's the perfect scenario to start.
Because he got peppered by the Kraken.
Yeah, but it's also,
apparently they also didn't get in. They didn't. The travel from Seattle to San Jose took so long. They did not get into San Jose till 6 a.m. Pacific time.
Oof.
So not a whole lot of rest. Yeah, so it kind of makes sense for Sandstrom getting the start there.
I mean, it makes sense. But also, again, before I had known that fact about them not getting there until early the next morning, I was going to say the fact that, I mean, you have Martin Jones, who's obviously, he was with the Sharks for multiple years. He's coming off a win, albeit he did get peppered against the Kraken. But it's like, why not start the guy? Like, unless, I mean, I kept hearing that he was a little bit peeved with the coaching staff, where he's like, hey, like, I know this team. Like, I've been with them.
For sure.
Like, how are you not, like, and also, again, it's almost like a good guy move, where it's like, if you're a coach and you have a goalie who's coming back to his former team for the first time, usually you play him. Case in point, when Brian Elliott almost shut out the Flyers in his first game back against with the Lightning.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, who the hell knows what Jones would have done in that game. But, I mean, again, Sandstrom did play well. The Flyers just didn't really play well for him, as they've done for goalies in the past on many occasions. But, Dave, I rest my case for now, and I'll let you move on to another fun game in the Crypto.com arena.
Worst name of arena in the league. Flyers got shit-kicked by the LA Kings, who are not a good hockey team. This was a game, the tale of two bad hockey teams. And you thought, you know what, maybe this will be like, it'll be so bad, it'll be good. Like, it'll be like a 5-4 game.
Yeah.
No, it's a 6-3 loss. And it's one of two games that I actually turned off early. it takes a lot for people who know me. They know how diehard of a Philadelphia Flyers fan I am, and you know that as well, Mastro. So when I say that I turned off the past two Flyers games early, that's how bad and how upset this team is making me right now.
Yeah.
They had, in the LA Kane game, again, a slow, from what I watched, a slow start. They literally were losing 12 seconds into the first period. Doesn't matter. Farabee ties it up later in the period. You think, okay, this would be a good game. And then they just, Martin Jones did not have a good game in net against his other former team in the LA Kings where he started his career. So you lose 6-3. You let Brandon Lemieux score on you. Just a whole bunches of yikes.com. Mm-hmm. Then you go into last night's game into Anaheim. Cam York gets a draw on the lineup. Plays in, he grew up in Anaheim, grew up playing for the Anaheim Junior Ducks. His parents were in attendance. He tried to get some more friends and family going. He makes his season debut there. And in a game where both rosters were hit by COVID protocol, it was essentially the Philadelphia Phantoms versus the Anaheim Gulls. Of course, that's the Lehigh Valley Phantoms and the San Diego Gulls, the two minor league affiliates for both teams. And the Flyers they looked awful. Troy Terry put on a show. He's finally having his coming out year for the Anaheim Ducks. He was, he starred the U.S. team from the World Juniors the year we beat a Carter Hart-led Canada team. I believe that was 5 years ago at this point now, but whatever. He put on a show. He absolutely walked Sanheim. Hart played as about as good as you thought he would for returning to the lineup from being out essentially for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But just overall, they lost. Mike Yeo made a really bad coach's challenge for goaltender interference when I believe Sanheim is the one who pushed the Anaheim defender into Carter Hart. And I don't know why coaches try and challenge those plays, because as soon as you see that it's your player who pushed the opposing player into your goalie, you should know the league's going to go, nah, fam. So then you go down on a power play because you get a delay of game penalty for making a stupid call. Mm-hmm. And that's when I turned the game off. I didn't even bother watching the third period last night because I knew they were going to lose. The Ducks are playing, their young stars are showing up. And they've got John Gibson, who probably would have been one of the goalies for the United States of America if the Olympics were still happening this year. With NHL players. And they had no gumption. Granted, they really were even more shorthanded due to the fact that Couturier's on IR, Giroux and Provorov weren't available, Kevin Hayes is a shell of himself. Like, it's just, you keep on, I hate to have to keep on harping on the same excuses we see every week that we come on and do this podcast. But again, it's the injuries. It's COVID. They're not ready to play. And I know I'm going to give you the talking stick here soon, Mastro, but just like, I'm getting empathetic. And I feel like a lot of the fan base is getting empathetic towards this team now. Like, I removed the Baghead profile picture on my Twitter. I put it back on for a couple days there.
Mm-hmm.
And then removed it because I'm just like, I just don't care anymore at this point. I'm like, watching this game now, watching this hockey team, we've reverted back to where we were last season and years prior, where it's a chore, where I'm literally watching enough of the game so I can get an opinion on it so that when I come on this podcast of ours, I don't sound like a blithering idiot. I'm watching enough so that way I can make our podcast good and listenable. And that's not like, yes, we started this podcast as a way to air our grievances and talk about the hockey team, but I think we can both agree this podcast and watching the Flyers are a lot more fun when the team is winning and they're playing well. Yeah. And they're just not right now. They're making asinine decisions with player personnel. Ryan Ellis doesn't exist. There's zero timetable on his return.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Yandle is playing worse than Andrew McDonald ever did.
Yeah.
And you've got Claude Giroux as the best forward right now for this team, which shouldn't be the case. And then to add on to all of it, you're seeing Cale Makar score the goal of the year last night And then you're hearing more discourse come out saying not only did Ron Hextall choose to pick Nolan Patrick over Kale McCarr, he also chose to pick Travis Sanheim over David Pastrnak. You're hearing all these reports come out from scouts. So you're literally now, it's like, you know, I know I've been a big harper of you can't look on the past at the time there are the moves, but when you hear those things and when you see the sources they're coming from and the sources say, I heard this from a Flyer scout who is one of my sources.
Oof, it hurts.
It hurts because literally we thought for years that the Flyers, with the way they were building, they were going to be, the Penguins were going to fall off, the Capitals were going to fall off, the Rangers needed to rebuild, the Islanders needed to rebuild, the Devils needed to rebuild, the Flyers are going to be the kings of the Metropolitan Division. And now the Capitals are still there. The Penguins are still there. The Rangers are one of the best teams in the league. The Islanders aren't having that great of a year, and the Devils still suck. But the majority of the teams that you thought that we were going to be ahead of or at least competing with, we are nowhere near. We are nowhere near. This organization is lost. There's no sense of direction. Yeah. Ownership has its head up its ass. Mike Yeo is just not a good coach. I'm going to go out and say it. And even though the players seem to be playing well for him, he is not a viable NHL coaching option and needs to be, you know, unless you're going to rebuild and tank for a couple years and really suck, then keep it around. Sure, who cares? Mm-hmm. But if the Flyers and Chuck Fletcher think this season is salvageable or they can move forward next year and still contend to be in a win now mode, they need to change a lot still. Like, this is not in, like, this is not a snap of your fingers and an overnight fix. Like, this team is bad. I'm just going to go out. This team, this is a bad hockey team.
Yeah.
When you play right now, I mean, granted, they are only a couple spots out of the last wild card seed. The Boston Bruins are ahead in the standings. I mean, they're 4 points back. But then when you see the schedule, the Bruins have four games in hand, you go, okay, that's toast. You know, at this point, like, I wish the Flyers currently sitting at 13, 14, and 6, and a minus 24 goal differential. I want them to pick a direction for the rest of the season, so I want to know how I can prepare following this hockey team. Either get your shit together and make a playoff push and get this team and this city excited about hockey again, or you say, you know what, this ain't our year. We're putting Ryan Ellis on LTIR. We're going to try and trade some players to the deadline to recoup some assets. And we'll try again next year. They need to pick a path. No more of this. We're going to try and push and maybe we'll make the first round and lose in six games, or we'll just barely miss the playoffs and, you know, we'll pick between 12 and 15. No. Either you're making a playoff run and you're picking 20 or lower, or you're going to suck the rest of the year and pick 10 or higher. They need to pick one.
I think they're going to end up right where we don't want them to be, as they've done multiple times in the past.
They're going to shoot themselves in the foot yet again. It's this endless cycle of mediocrity. And I believe today or tomorrow would have been Ed Snyder's 89th birthday. Zero mention or tweet about it from the Philadelphia Flyers. Nothing on social media. You have the Ed Snyder Youth Foundation saying they're going to be wearing EMS helmet stickers to honor him. But the big club, silent. Like, what has this team become? What are we doing here?
I was trying to find, when I was posting the tweet and the Facebook post about the episode tonight, I was trying to find a quote. There's a quote from Macho Man Randy Savage from the old WWF days where he's like, he goes, I'm living in a nightmare. Like, that is literally the Flyers. Going back to the draft and what could have been, obviously hindsight's 2020.
Yes.
But it's like, when we literally heard so much about how the Flyers prospect pool was stocked for the next like 10 plus years with of the best talent,
and that was from the best of the hockey beats, everyone thought this,
and it's like, and you look where we are at now, it's like we were basically again, hindsight's 2020. We may be over exaggerating a little bit here, but it's like we were basically fed false hope where it was like, sure, not every player pans out to be what they're supposed to be or what they can be, but it's like you had all these guys and they were all, most of them, with the exception of a couple, maybe three, most of them were supposed to, like, based off of all the stats and all that, the trajectories, whatever you do to scout, they were supposed to be successful NHL players. And they've shown that, but there's been no constant.
Or there's been regression,
yes. And, I mean, the only constant about the Flyers is that there is no constant.
The only constant is Claude Giroux being their best player every freaking year, and they wasted his career.
And that's going to be one of the tragedies of Philadelphia sports history, where you have, I mean, he's already first in team history with power play points. He's second place now, just behind Bobby Clarke, for most points all time as a Flyer. He's literally going to be the best Flyer of all time without a Stanley
in the modern era.
In the modern era.
And his jersey will be retired.
But I'm going to be the well actually guy here for a second, Dave. I'm sorry to do this to you. Were you looking for apathetic as your word instead of empathetic?
Oh, yeah, apathetic. Doesn't empathetic mean like you're still caring?
Yeah.
Yes, apathetic. Thank you. Okay. I have apathetic feelings toward this hockey team now. Like, I'm not caring. Like, cool, if you win, great. If you lose, cool. I know how to talk about the team now.
There's so many people that have just developed the "it is what it is" attitude, where it's like nothing is surprising anymore.
Because we're all sick of it.
Have seen almost all of it. Like, guys out on COVID. Like, COVID. Like, literally, the Flyers, again, we can touch on this game soon, but it's like the Flyers are putting out an exhibition roster tomorrow against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, because guys are on COVID protocol or injured, or, I mean, again, I'm sure you're going to touch on Carter Hart's quote from the other night, Dave, but we can get into that soon too. But it's like, there's always some shred of hope that comes along with each season. And then, I mean, I'm going to be like Chuck Fletcher at that press conference a few weeks ago. Man, those first 10 games were fun, but we are what we are right now. And it's like, you don't know whether to feel, you don't know whether to be apathetic or you would rather be in the rage room in the Wells Fargo Center, breaking literally everything in sight until you physically cannot break anything else because you're too tired. Or you maybe just keel over and have a heart attack and die because you're so angry about this team. One or the other. But it's like, again, it just seems like it's an overarching issue where, again, it's mismanagement from almost every aspect of the team. Where, I mean, we saw it with the marketing department, where with the alumni game and the Rick Tocchet and Paul Holmgren alumni induction, coaching staff. We had and basically an inept Michelle Therrien coaching the power play that was like 0 for 50 at one point. Alain Vigneault had obviously run his time out because he seemed like he had completely lost the room. And now we have interim coach Mike Yeo, who was like, I don't mean to be mean to the guy, but he's a failed head coach of the Blues, and they go on to win the Stanley Cup and the Wild. So it's like, and again, we literally could take any soundbite from so many other podcasts that we've done and paste it in here, and it would fit so well because it's like we literally say the same thing where it's like you don't know what can be done aside from literally just blow the team up. Like,
and it's the part that sucks because this year, I mean, they haven't – Chuck Fletcher had an image in his head for what this team was supposed to be this year, and that image has never come to fruition. Like, they have not had a healthy team all year, and yes, that sucks. But the good teams, even though that image isn't met, they have the depth in their organization where they can plug holes and still be successful.
Yep.
You find with the Philadelphia Flyers team, missing one hole in Ryan Ellis throws your whole defensive pairing structure off completely. Like, it's just like, He is the linchpin that is crucial. And if it's not him, it's chaos and god-awfulness, except for Sanheim and Ristolainen. But yeah, even they've been slipping as of late.
Yep.
Because you've got Keith Yandle, minus 17, the worst defenseman in the entire NHL right now. And I'm convinced the only reason he is still playing is because of that goddamn Iron Man streak, that after he breaks it, he is going to lose the record to Phil Kessel anyway this year. So it really doesn't fucking matter. Pardon my one F-bomb there. And then you've got Nick Seeler or Kevin Connaughton trying to fill in with him. You've got Justin Braun trying to do an admirable job with Ivan Provorov on the top pairing, but you just know he's not that anymore. And then last night you throw Cam York in, who from what I watched for 40 minutes of hockey, looked pretty good, but he's not a finished product yet.
Yeah.
So, like, it sucks, but, like, if the Flyers were actually a good organization, missing Ryan Ellis wouldn't hurt them this bad. Missing Kevin Hayes when they missed him wouldn't hurt this bad. Missing Sean Couturier wouldn't hurt this bad. They're just not.
Yeah.
A lot of the prospects that we thought that were going to be good aren't what they are.
Yeah.
Like, some of them are still okay, and they're okay players, and that's fine. But you needed to hit on a couple of those, and it looks like we didn't.
Yeah.
Do we want to get on Keith Yandle right now?
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head pretty much.
Is there anything else more to say?
Obviously podcasts are audio. Yeah, I mean, podcasts are audio, but if we could just insert the video of him falling down, trying to make a play, and then the Flyers getting scored on, that's the only exhibit you need to know.
I mean, he hasn't even sonked anyone yet this year.
He's gotten sonked.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you look at Keith Yandle, and if you ignore his plus-minus and all the other stuff, you go 33 games played, 11 points as a defenseman. Oh, that's not bad. He was brought here to be an offensive defenseman who got points on the power play. But then you dive into it more and you go, oh, wait, he has 0 goals. They're all assists, and the majority of them have come at 5-on-5 play. Not why we signed you. And then, oof, minus 17? I know plus minus isn't a tell-all, be-all tale, but it is with the Yandle this year.
Yeah.
Like, he is playing at an American Hockey League level, and because of this stupid Iron Man record, he is still playing. And I get, like, Mike Yeo and the Flyers don't mean... If the Flyers were the organization to bench him, it would be, oh... The hockey would be, oh, typical Philadelphia. They threw snowballs at Santa Claus, and they ended Keith Yandle's Iron Man streak. How dare they? But, like, if you actually watched him play this year, everyone would be like, ew.
Yeah.
And you know who I've got gripe with a little bit right now? Is Spittin' Chiclets. Because they have touched on the Flyers and been like, hey, this team hasn't been that great this year. But yet, they haven't had the... Like, they have the balls to call out other players, but since Keith Yandle is their buddy and Kevin Hayes is their buddy, they're not saying anything. And it's like, what good friends are you? Like, a good friend calls out a friend when you're not playing well to try and get them to be better. Now, maybe they're doing that off on the side.
Yeah.
But, man, as a listener of that podcast, I wish they would have said something and been like, he hasn't been good. Like, because everyone sees it, and you see it in their Twitter comments. They go, talk about Yandle. They're like turning a blind eye to it. And so is a lot of the media. But it is what it is. He should have been in the press box a month ago. And we have, I think it's 8 more games and 15 more days of Keith Yandle until this streak is broken. And... by God, at this point, if they play him till he breaks it, cool. But the minute he breaks that record, his ass is grass. He better be in the press box or on waivers. Either or. Like, seriously. If they keep on playing him, you know the Flyers are leaning towards the direction I thought of where they're going to tank and not do well this year. Because he is not, as of right now, he is not a viable NHL option.
Yeah, it's a... It ain't looking good.
Not great, Bob.
Yeah. I mean, there's really not much else to say besides that. He's just been flat out bad. Like, he was brought here to be, like...
A power play specialist.
Power play specialist for the second unit. Because, obviously, we already had our first unit, which would have ideally been Ellis and Provorov. But that's obviously...
Not even Provorov, just Ellis and four other forwards.
Yeah, I mean, that's going down the drain. But I'm trying to find this tweet. Sorry, bad radio. Oh, I guess I can just search it. All right, Dave, I think you quoted this tweet, but it's from Jason Martinez.
Yep, so I got it up.
We will move to the present here in our present suffering of things as Flyers fans. But, Dave, I guess I'll let you read the tweet if you already have it up. I do have it up, too, but if you want to keep the talking stick for another couple minutes, feel free.
That's fine. I'll kind of run like the front half of the podcast, and you run the back half. It's a nice split there. But yeah, obviously the Flyers who take on the Pittsburgh Penguins tomorrow night, which is an ESPN Plus exclusive game. Ooh ah! And they're gonna be rolling out an American Hockey League team. They're gonna be sending out the old Lehigh Valley Phantoms against Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. It's gonna go well, let me tell you. They are missing the following players. On COVID protocol, Travis Konechny, Travis Sanheim, just added today, Claude Giroux, Ivan Provorov, Jackson Cates, and Nick Seeler. Then when you add in, those are just your COVID protocol guys missing. Missing those guys, you go, ooh, not ideal. On your injured list is Sean Couturier, Ryan Ellis, Derek Brassard, and Nate Thompson. That's literally, if you count Claude Giroux as a center, that is four of your viable NHL center options gone from the lineup. And you're missing your number one center in Sean Couturier, Selke Trophy winning Sean Couturier, your number one defenseman in Ryan Ellis, who's only played four games this year, so he's like Bigfoot at this point, like you said. So yeah, tomorrow night's going to be...
Tomorrow night's where you just insert that gif of Ralph Wiggum from The Simpsons where it's like the chuckles, I'm in danger. Yeah, basically, that's basically what tomorrow it could be. Or it is, and then it could just get worse.
If there is some bright side of this. In years past, this would have been a national broadcast game for the whole country to see. Yeah. Now it's just only on ESPN Plus. You know, not everyone's cut the cord and gone to streaming or pays for streaming and cable.
Yeah.
So, like, cool. Maybe not that many people are going to see it, but, like...
I hope not.
Tomorrow night's going to be rough. Unless a miracle happens and by some chance you can get Claude Giroux and Ivan Provorov at least back for tomorrow night's game, then you go, okay, you know what? Maybe I'm feeling a little bit better. But... not good.
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow's game is definitely, I guess, a test, like every other game is, especially with this team. But I'll just run over the schedule here going to the next week. Hopefully, we'll probably record again on the 12th next Wednesday. But the Flyers have the Penguins tomorrow night.
So they have beer league, so we'll figure that out.
All right, TBD then. But the Flyers have the Penguins at the Wells Fargo Center tomorrow night at 7. Then on Saturday, they have the Sharks at home. And then they have the Carolina Hurricanes at home on Tuesday, the 11th, followed by the Bruins on the 13th in Boston. And then the 15th, which is a Saturday as well, the New York Rangers in the Wells Fargo Center. We will get to those bridges when we cross them. But I think there's a little bit more of a pressing issue, but also a hot debate topic and again, I will preface this with the fact that we are not scientists and or doctors
nor experts
but this is all our opinion based off of what the information that we've been given. It's sad that we even have to say that nowadays, but it is what it is. And we've seen this with other teams too, not just the Flyers, but the NHL, obviously, along with the CDC, at least the United States, Canada is a different story because, I mean, if you live on, unless you live under a rock, you know that Canada's got different restrictions because they're a different country. So it's like the NHL in Canada is a dumpster fire right now. There's games that are being postponed left and right. There were just three more that were postponed like 10 minutes ago that I just saw on Twitter. So if you're playing a Canadian team in the NHL, you're probably not playing that game until next season at this point.
Or if they come down to the States to play.
Yeah. But that North division's looking like a really good idea right about now. But anyway, the fact that, and again, this is such a sensitive topic, I feel like. But again, we'll give our opinions on this. So, Dave, you have a quote again.
Yes.
You're getting the talking stick of this. You're very front-loaded on this first half. But you have a quote from Carter Hart that came out just the other night about the COVID tests and, like, all that jazz. So I'll just let you read the quote, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, this is from post-game, actually, after last night's game. This is a quote after Carter Hart didn't play that great. The team lost, and finding out hours beforehand that you've lost Claude Giroux and Ivan Provorov, who are asymptomatic to COVID protocol. Hart was quoted as saying the following: "Guys are testing positive with no symptoms or mild symptoms. I mean, the league has got to find a way to change that. We're either going to keep on playing shorthanded all season long, or games are going to keep on getting postponed. I think it's a joke. It's got to change." So, as one could imagine, this gets released by all the beats. And this blows up like a firestorm on Twitter.com and social media in general. And you've got the people who think COVID's a joke going, "Hell yeah, Carter's right. Progress on. It's just a cold. What pandemic? Woo." Then you've got the other people on the spectrum who are still freaking scared to death of COVID going, "What the hell, Carter Hart? What are you saying? What are you thinking? This is a global pandemic. We need to, like, stop it. This is, you're wrong." Ideally, and this is my opinion, both sides are right. There needs to be a middle ground here. Before Carter Hart was put on COVID protocol himself, he was actually out of the lineup with the flu. And they went to come back. He felt great, but tested positive for COVID and was asymptomatic. You got guys, you hear of teams playing with the flu through a stretch where a team gets hit with the flu and they still play it.
Yeah.
Yes, we are still in a global pandemic and the virus is mutating and new strains are coming out. And because people are getting vaccinated and boosted, the new strains that mutate aren't as deadly and aren't as serious. Just like with the flu or a cold. So what happens? We live with those.
Yep.
We are now 2 years in this pandemic, and we need to learn as a society to live with COVID. It's not going away. It's not going anywhere. But you can't have one side saying, "Screw it all, it doesn't matter," and once it's going, lock everything down. Because those aren't realistic. We need to start treating this virus like the flu. And the worst thing that happened to COVID was it getting politicized during the presidential election. Because I'm convinced that if that hadn't happened, we would not be in the shoe we're in right now. That's a whole other debate.
We're getting deep here.
I'm gonna stop it there. but Carter Hart is right. If the NHL wants to have a successful pro season and make money, and the players don't want to lose more money to the owners and up owing them more and paying more in escrow, games need to happen. Sports need to be played. The hockey needs to be played. So you can't keep on trying to cancel things and postpone things because now you got people angry left and right. But there has to be a happy medium. And if you're asymptomatic, like, I guess if a pro athlete is a human being in, they are the thoroughbred, purebreds. They are peak human being.
Mm-hmm.
If they're vaccinated and boosted, they can handle these new strains of COVID. So if they're not showing any symptoms, let them play. And I'm saying that from a point as a sports fan who views sports as an escape from my daily, you know, 9-to-5 life and everything else. Like, I'm not going to lie. And Matt, I'm sure you're in the same boat. When COVID first hit and everything shut down, there was no sports on TV. There was no sports to go play locally. Like, you were in your apartment or in the grocery store, like, masked up to the nines.
Panic shopping.
And that's all you did.
Yeah.
It was a dark, dark time. And everyone, I think, got a little depressed because we are social beings.
A little depressed is an understatement.
It's a very big understatement.
Yeah.
But, like, there needs to be a happy medium.
Yeah.
And they gotta, if they want this league to be successful, because if they've already... We're not going to the Olympics. Okay, cool. And you're going to use that 3-week break to replace games. But if you keep on canceling games, that's going to build up more than the times allowed. So then you're going to push more into the off season, which is going to piss off the players even more.
Yep.
And extend the season. Or do you stop it, wait a little bit, and then go even further? Like, there's... They have to find some way to make this work. The NFL lowered their restrictions per the CDC. It's if you're asymptomatic, you only need to quarantine for 5 days. The NBA is making it work. It's time for the NHL to make this work.
The NHL did adopt the CDC regulations, but again, it's that tricky part between the asymptomatic, and it's like, again, these guys are athletes, but they're also human beings. They have families. Around friends. So they're obviously they're around more at risk individuals. Obviously, like older family members, or like if they have young kids. I mean, anything like that. So it's, again, it's such a tough line to walk. Where, like you said, the NHL, when it comes down to it, is a business. Any sports league is a business nowadays, where you need money coming in so that they can play, so that they can upkeep so many things. There's money is key, obviously, but
rules it's all. Just again,
what?
It rules all.
Exactly. But I think it's one of those things too, where it's like you're trying to keep your business going, but also you're trying to keep it safe. But again, you're sacrificing the quality of it. Where, I mean, it's, I don't, I'm going to try this comparison. I don't know if it's going to work, but bear with me here for a second. It's almost kind of like virtual school, where it's like you want to keep kids learning, but the quality of the education may be sacrificed because kids are learning through a computer, as opposed to, I mean, I know everything's A, more fun in person, and B, it's easier in person because you have that personal connection. You have that physical connection. Just being there makes it easier for you to pay attention, to be involved, all that stuff. So it's like, again, and we've seen this in other sports too, where last week when I was in New Orleans, the Saints played the Dolphins. The Saints had 22 guys on the COVID list and were playing their fourth string quarterback. The Saints lost 20-3 on ESPN as part of Monday Night Football. Like,
not good.
No one enjoys that. Like, you want to see again, sports are competitive by nature, and you want to see that. You don't want to see a team with 18 guys out on COVID and they have their AHL team up to play an important game against the Penguins, where like the playoffs could be on the line. Like, you don't want it to come down to that, where it's like, oh, the so-and-so lost the Stanley Cup because their star player was on COVID protocol, even though he was asymptomatic. Like, you would hate to see that. And like, I mean, again, it's multifaceted, and it's sensitive. And there's just, again, they're trying to keep everyone safe. I understand. And they're trying to stop the spread and all that jazz. But it's, again, like you said, at what point after these guys, they're vaccinated, boosted, masking up when they have to, all that stuff, they're following all the rules to keep themselves and the other players, coaches, staff, all those people safe, even their families. I'm sure these guys are smart. I would hope. But it's like, what more can you do? And it's like, again, they're people first, but they're also professional athletes. So again, like you said earlier, Dave, they're peak performance individuals, where they have unreal health. They have access to all these like trainers and like medicine, all this. It's like, at what point do you say, all right, he's positive, he's asymptomatic, just let him play? Like, I don't understand. It's like anything else these past 2 years and the Flyers, it all comes out in the wash, as they say. Nothing makes sense.
It's hard because there's no right answer, because there's arguments that make sense on both sides.
Well, there's more than one right answer.
Yeah. There's too many.
Yeah.
And we can't find what – no one wants to agree on what works, because everyone thinks that their idea is what we should be doing.
Yeah. And again, it goes back to the fact we're just – like back to the hockey aspect of it where – and again, I hate to use this as a silver lining for how bad the Flyers have been, because I think it's definitely more than this, but it's like they've had guys in and out of COVID like any other team this whole season so far. And it's like, how are you supposed to find a rhythm for your game when you're playing with different players night in and night out?
You're not going to.
Yeah, and exactly. I mean, again, I'm all for young guys, prospects getting their shot in the NHL, but it's like, if every other night someone is making their NHL debut, it's like, dude, like, we got to fix this. Like, and again, it all goes back to the Flyers. It's like their prospect pool is, I would say, heavily depleted at this point, because aside from Cam York and a couple other guys who I'm forgetting their names right now, I can't tell you if any of these other guys on the Phantoms are ever going to be in the NHL unless they – I mean, they have the taxi squads now, so there's guys like Jackson Cates and a couple other guys. Again, I'm bad with names tonight, but I mean, I would say obviously the Flyers should find a way to win games, even with the different players and that whole next man up and all that. But again, it's got to be so tough from the athlete's perspective when you find chemistry with these guys, and then next thing you know, this guy's out 5 to 10 days with COVID, and you're playing with a completely different person. Your own game gets thrown off on top of, like, you having to play with different people, different positions. It's like, from the athlete's perspective, it's got to be stressful as hell.
Yeah.
And it sucks because, again, you want these guys to be able to play the game, but there's also that other side who is also correct in their own reasoning, excuse me, where it's like you want to keep people safe, because obviously the pandemic is worldwide. It's real. It can hurt people if it's transmitted to the wrong person, for lack of better terms. But it's like, again, it's such a fine line to walk. It's a multifaceted issue. Both sides have arguments to be right, but again, if these leagues are being managed as well as they have been, and these players are getting constantly tested and all this stuff, it's like, what more can they do to keep themselves safe? And then again, just let them play. Like, so, and that's really all you can say, where it's like, listen, asymptomatic, test them again the next day. If they're still asymptomatic or whatever, I don't know. I mean, again, we're not experts here, but for the sake of the business of the NHL and for sports, you want to see a quality product on your TV or at the arena if you're at a game. Like, you pay preseason prices to see a preseason team. You don't pay $100+ to go see the Flyers and the Penguins at the Wells Fargo Center, and the Flyers have half their AHL roster here because guys are showing no symptoms with COVID. Yeah. It's like, I mean, A, for one, that sucks, and B, it's just a shame that, like, I don't know. Again, you could talk about each side until the cows come home, but it's just, again, at what point do you just let them play? So.
They got to figure it out, because what they're doing right now isn't working. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, and it makes it even tougher, again, with Canada, where I said before, obviously Canada is a different country, and they have gotten a lot more stricter in the past just couple weeks now with the Omicron variant. And it's like, now you have, again, we're seeing heaps of games with Canadian teams. Like, I think there was – I forget who tweeted it, but it was literally like – it was the other day. It was New Year's Day, because obviously the Winter Classic happens New Year's Day. You have like 40,000 people at Target Field watching the Winter Classic between the Wild and the Blues, and then you have an empty Toronto Maple Leafs arena with tarps over the seats, and like someone put a picture of each one and said, this is the same professional sports league. Like,
yep.
it's just wild. Where, again, obviously Canada is a different country. They have different laws and restrictions and all that. But it's like you're playing in a, granted, again, it's an outdoor game. So, like, risk of transmission, in my non-expert opinion, is pretty low.
But with how packed you are in an MLB stadium, I don't
remember
that point.
I mean, also, we're not experts here. I'm just posing this question as a general question. I don't know if you know either, but how well does COVID transmit in the cold weather? If it's minus 6 degrees, that shit just might die when you breathe it out. Like, so I don't know. But again, we're not experts. It's just, it's all topsy-turvy nowadays. And again, we just want to see good hockey. I mean, hell, if the regardless of if the Flyers have been plagued by COVID or not, they still might be bad. So who knows?
Yeah, and it was nice to actually watch the Winter Classic and watch a hockey game that I enjoyed watching.
Yeah. That's like the worst part is, like, I love watching the Flyers, but when they're not fun, it's not fun. And then you watch another game between two random teams, and it's a great game, and you're like, you just sit there, and you're like, why can we not have this? Like,
The Eagles winning the Super Bowl cursed all of Philadelphia. But I would do it all over again.
I mean,
maybe with the Flyers Stanley Cup, though.
I don't know if there's, like, something or someone that we can sacrifice. Maybe, like, we sacrifice Gritty. Like, hey, like,
you know, at this point, I'd be fine with that.
Like, Gritty can be, who's the guy from the Sixers? That, like, they were saying, like, he died for our sins. Was it Brett Brown? Someone.
Sam Hinkie? Like,
maybe. Yeah, I think it was him. Yeah. Like, he was the guy who brought in, like, Embiid and all that and, like, trust the process. Now the Sixers are, like, pretty good, and they were, like, everyone's been, like, Sam Hinkie died for our sins or blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't
know. Gritty needs to die for our sins. You put me on record. You know,
that's a whole other subject we can get into where we talk about
Gritty
this
as much
in the past.
As the next guy, but he was clearly a corporate distraction made by Comcast to distract a fan base. It is what it is. I love him, but that's what he is. He's a distraction for the fan base.
I mean, we could do a whole other podcast on Gritty when they brought in the Rage Room where they were like, hey, like, the hockey team sucks. Like, come pay more money after you've already paid money to watch our sucky hockey team to come break a plate. Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, again, we can take any soundbite from any podcast within the last 2 years now with the Flyers, and it would fit in on tonight's episode perfectly. But again, with that, the Flyers play the Penguins tomorrow, and we go from there on this roller coaster of whatever the hell it is with the Flyers. It's one game at a time at this point. Yeah. We're not going to look ahead here. But Dave, with that, I think we should just kind of let's just zoom out from our misery and go around the league to actually
around the league. We're already almost close near that hour mark.
We'll talk about hopefully some positive stuff here. So no pun intended for positive COVID. The first thing we will talk about is the Winter Classic. I did DVR it. I wasn't able to watch it in real time because I was working at the Sugar Bowl. Not a big deal. But in case you didn't know, the 2022 Winter Classic was the St. Louis Blues against the Minnesota Wild at Target Field, which is usually the home of the Minnesota Twins in the MLB. The Blues did win 6-4. Had trouble reading this wording here. Against the Wild at Target Field, and it was the coldest game in NHL history, with the official temperature being -5.7 degrees Fahrenheit. It was noticeably colder than the previous record holder, which was the first of the NHL's 33 modern outdoor games, when the Montreal Canadiens defeated the Edmonton Oilers 4-3 at the Heritage Classic at Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton back on November 22nd of 2003. The record book says it was 0 degrees at faceoff then. Jeez, I can't even imagine playing.
It was so cold they had to heat the ice to play that game.
They had to heat the ice. I saw players had their sweat was freezing on their facial hair. They also had I saw the trainers were rubbing some sort of lotion on players' ears so that they wouldn't freeze. So, I mean, it's got to be cool as hell to play in a Winter Classic, but when it's that cold, it's like, yikes. Like, you're doing anything you can to stay warm.
Players are drinking chicken broth.
Ooh.
Like, hot chicken broth. in their water bottle. I feel bad for fans who paid like $20 for a beer, because you saw pictures. They were like freezing and exploding on people after you bathed them. It was like, oof, not a good look. But I mean, the game itself, kind of for the first half of the game, St. Louis dominated. Cam Talbot didn't have a great night in net for the Minnesota Wild. But in the third period, both goalies had great. Bennington was kind of boring because Bennington's a boring guy, if you ask me. But Cam Talbot's setup was nice. I remember shitting on the Wild jerseys when they got released, but actually seeing them on TV in person,
they're sweet.
I dig them now. I've now changed my mind on that setup. The whole uniform worked well. The Wild came back and made it a game in the third period. You'd kind of wish the home team would win more of these games, but usually it's the away team that wins the Winter Classic. But overall, it blizzarded there a couple of days beforehand. There was natural snow on the ground. The women's Olympic team got announced. Like, yet again, a great event pulled off by the NHL. My only gripe is, why did you have Kenny Albert doing play-by-play for this? He's not good at it, but I've aired my grievances about that way too much in the past. But overall, it was a fun, enjoyable hockey game and another good Winter Classic on New Year's Day.
Love it. The game at its roots, as they say.
Yes.
Played
outdoor also, myself at Bernathan the other night on Monday night, and it too was cold there. Not as cold as Minnesota, but it was cold.
We actually have another outdoor game. I think it's sometime in February. I'm not sure the exact date. Again, bad radio by me not having this note prepared. But we have the Nashville Predators and the Tampa Bay Lightning at Nissan Stadium, which is the usual home of the Tennessee Titans in the NFL. That's sometime next month. We'll get back to you with a date on that. But in case you didn't see them, Nashville's jerseys are brutal and Tampa's are nice. Yes. Usually a fan. I mean, Nashville's jerseys, Nashville and Dallas at the, was it 2020 Winter Classic?
Yes.
Yeah. Two of just the awesome, like two awesome jerseys. I bought a jersey of each one because I was like, these are sick. I need at least something from this. But, tough look for Nashville on these Stadium Series jerseys. But the Bolts redeeming themselves from the, like, the all-black alternates that they have that just look stupid.
They're boring.
And then also, again, they were talking about it on Missing Curfew with Scotty Upshaw and Shane O'Brien. And we've seen teams do this in the past, like the Capitals also. I think the Flames, maybe even the Jets too. But it'd be cool if the Blues, since they've done, like, the off-white, they did the off-white jerseys for this Winter Classic that just happened, and then they also did prior to, I think it was another Winter Classic or a Stadium Series, another outdoor game, they did like the same thing with the blue being the primary color.
The baby blue, yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering, and I think it would be good for them because, I mean, the retro look with the off-white always looks awesome. Yes. But if they adopted those as like their home and away jerseys somehow going forward, not a marketing guy, but I think that would get more people interested in your team. That's just me. Winter Classic, thumbs up, and we go on from there. Actually, I'm questioning myself because there's really not a lot of other stuff going on.
I mean, Ovi now didn't he power play goals or something?
Yes. Where's my article for this?
We just want to touch on this because it's Ovi, because he's the greatest goal scorer of all time.
Yeah, so actually I saw this in person, sort of, but he scored the power play. He scored a power play goal the other night against the Detroit Red Wings in Detroit. He broke the power play goals record with power play goal number 275 to pass Dave Andrechuk. It was interesting because he scored at just under 2 minutes, literally just under the power play expiring, because I was watching the Capitals broadcast on ESPN Plus, no free ads. But they were like talking about it and they were like, does this break the record? Does it not break the record? And they got official confirmation that it did break the record. So like, it was cool seeing that like happen live. But again, he scored power play goal number 275 on last Friday in Little Caesars Arena. You still got to think, hopefully the Red Wings somehow get the pizza power play with the Little Caesars Arena. Just, again, not a marketing guy, but I think that would help. obviously, the next thing is to break Wayne Gretzky's goal record. He's still got a ways to go for that, but he's within reach. I mean, if he is the Russian machine that never breaks, as he said in the past, it's doable.
Which he is proving he is.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the next thing on his list at this point. It's just the next, what, four seasons?
Four or five.
I mean, if he continues to prove, as he's done many years in the past, that he can still score at will. I mean, he's always in his office on the power play. Like, that's literally what happened for this goal to break the record. Was he was top of the circle, one timer, goes five hole on the goalie, and I was like, I've seen that before. Yeah, I mean, just cool to see a record, quote-unquote, in person on TV. But again, Ovi just continues to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really hate him if you're a hockey fan. Even just being a Flyers fan, like, he's been a big rival of ours forever, but he's just a player, like, you love. Like, I literally have zero ill will against the Washington Capitals and Alex Ovechkin. Like,
yeah.
I probably at some point should find an Ovechkin sweater to add to my collection. Just say, hey, I own one, because, like, watching this guy was a treat my entire life. So,
yeah,
no complaints here. And I hope he breaks Gretzky's record. I really hope he does.
Yep. I actually have one more thing, and we can end this week on a very heartwarming note about a hockey hero. Dave, I'm sure you saw this, from the NHL article, and this was all over Twitter as well on social media. 2 months after a quick interaction with a Seattle Kraken fan, Vancouver Canucks equipment manager Brian Red Hamilton conducted a social media search to find the woman who potentially saved his life.
Yep.
This past Saturday, Hamilton did meet his hero, who was found through the power of Twitter. A future medical student named Nadia. Sorry, Nadia, I'm going to butcher your name here. Popovici, I think, is probably how it's pronounced. But back in October, during the first home game of the Kraken against the Canucks, Hamilton was clearing the bench of iPads and gloves when he turned around and saw Popovici holding her phone up to the glass with a message in a large, colorful font. She told Hamilton that the mole in the back of his neck could be cancerous. She said, quote, "I put mole, doctor, cancer in red and made them bold. Good morning, America," she told Good Morning America during an appearance with Hamilton this past Monday. He did read the message on his phone, nodded, and turned back to do his job. Hamilton was quoted saying, "I felt bad in the moment because I'm walking off the bench and she put her phone up to the glass and her phone said, 'The mole on the back of your neck is cancer.' It threw me off. I kind of just shrugged and kept going. My initial response was when I found out, I felt bad because I felt like I didn't really give her the time of day." A few days after that game back in October, he got his mole biopsied and found out he had malignant melanoma in situ, meaning the cancer cells were only on the outer layer of his skin and detected very early. He has since had it removed. He was again quoted saying, "I didn't know it was there. She pointed it out. How she saw it boggles my mind. It wasn't very big, and I wear a jacket. And I also wear a radio on the back of my jacket that hooks on so the cords are there. She's a hero," he flat out said. To thank Nadia, the Kraken and the Canucks teamed up to award her a $10,000 scholarship towards medical school, which she plans to attend this year. It was announced during the game Saturday and garnered a stunning reaction from her, clad in a tough look for a jersey here, Nadia, Brandon Tanev home jersey, and a uniquely knitted Kraken octopus hat. It's actually a pretty sick hat. But she's appeared on a few other things as well. Good Morning America, CNN, NBC Nightly News. So, I mean, it's just cool to see, like, this thing, you really... I mean, I feel like we've seen this stuff happen before in other instances, but, like, this is just such a cool thing where it was, like, I mean, he literally, again, I mean, he felt bad that he didn't give her the time of day because he looked at the phone so quickly, but it's, like, that saved his life. So, yeah. as I like to say, you love to see it, and you love to see it even more when it's a life-saving event.
Yeah, it was a feel-good story. Like, she saved this man's life.
Yeah,
and he's got daughters, you know, a wife. Like, because of Nadia's her brain and her education level, saying that's cancer. go get it checked out, man. You know, like, this guy can keep on living, and he's got his whole life ahead of him. So. Yep. It was a really good feel-good story. So you do love to see it.
Amen to that. But Dave, with that does it for Around the League this week. A lot of other stuff going on around the league, mostly COVID-related. No one really wants to hear any of that. So we'll save that for the birds.
Yeah.
But the Flyers. Oh, the Flyers. Not yo, the Flyers. It's just oh, the Flyers.
Oh, the Flyers.
But we'll see what they can do, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
That's all I've got, so I'm going to throw it over to you to wrap things up.
For those who didn't know, who listened to my last solo podcast, how I said I was going to talk about the World Juniors and how they played out, because by now we would have known who won gold or potentially was playing for gold. That tournament got canceled because of COVID, so nothing really to talk about there. The IIHF is trying to have it resume later in the spring or summer, potentially, so... If we hear more on the World Juniors resuming, we will pass along to the podcast, but there's really nothing to say about that. The Flyers is right, and we'll see how it goes. You know, Flyers-Penguins is normally something you get up and you're very excited about, no matter how good or bad the teams are doing. But I can't say that I'm really excited for tomorrow night's game at all one bit. So, this week the Flyers are not getting a Let's Go Flyers in the podcast. They are getting a do better. Your fans demand it, Flyers. Wake up. We'll see everyone next week.